Fly James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Guy James Show. Glad you could join us today. Take a couple hours out of your day and sit down and relax and enjoy the program. Well, maybe not relax. I don't know if this is a relaxing type show. But at least it's not for the Republicans, the Rethuglicans, or the Repukes, or whatever you like to call them. Got lots of nasty email that I'll tell you about a little later after the show yesterday. Some of the things we'll talk about today, we'll talk about Junior's press conference this morning. I'm sure some of you couldn't wait, got your popcorn and your soda pop, and went to sit in your big easy chair and watched that spectacular press conference this morning. Congratulations to the Cleveland Indians. You know, I'm a former Ohioan, and the Indians are now leading that series in the baseball playoffs, 3-1. One more victory, and they'll get into the World Series. Won't that be great for all you Indian fans? Yes. And, of course, my beloved Ohio State Buckeyes, number one. That's right, number one. It's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it, and there we are at the top of the polls once again. Always fun to be on top, but then again, you got a big target painted on your back, and everybody's out to get you. So, wild year in college football. Yes, I'm a college football addict, and I don't ever remember another year that's been as wild and woolly and crazy as this year. The preseason top 10, the top 10 that we entered the season with, now have all been defeated, along with a couple of more that have joined them. I think the Buckeyes started out the season maybe ranked around 13th and have climbed their way to the top of the poll. But there is danger lurking around the corner for the Bucks. Every single game from here out is going to be a tough one. So if you're a college football addict like myself, wow, last week was just great and every week's been great. Can't wait till this coming weekend. Oh, yes, I talk too much about football, don't I? Hey, glad to have all of you along on the program. Oh, now look at that, up on the chat room. Elo puts up the nice Ohio State insignia. How sweet it is. How sweet it is to see the Buckeye logo up on the chat room. Yes, sirree. That's great. It just makes my little heart go pitter-patter. It really does. See, I've forgotten what I was talking about. I was so excited. A couple of things I did want to mention before I get into the press conference and all that sort of thing today. I see that Al Gore has pretty much said he is not going to run, and I'm going to take Al at his word. Stop and think about it. If you were Al Gore, would you run for president right now? Life is pretty good. He's working on something that he's very passionate about, and he knows that he'd get sidetracked from it if he became president of the United States. So, I respect Al. I would love to have him run. I would love to have him be president of the United States. That would be a great thing. Be a great thing for America. Be a great thing for me. Be a great thing for the world. But I don't think Al's going to do it. Oh, well, one of the things I wanted to mention right off, we played you a little cut here yesterday. And let me do it just again, real quick, do it again. Rushy Boy, Drug Junkie Limbaugh here. Let me see if we can get this queued up.
I've practiced it once. I'm not going to tell you the story because I don't want to give it away. And I would have to mention names, and I'm not going to mention names, but there was a cover story on me coming out of one of the big news magazines, and it was going to totally mischaracterize me and what I do and how I do it. And we found out who was writing it and made a couple phone calls to the person writing it. And we said, you know what? We're going to find out where your kids go to school. We're going to find out who you knocked up in high school. We're going
to
find out.
That's enough said. We don't have to play the whole despicable thing again. Rush Limbaugh admitting that his people called the writer of an article that he disagreed with. How could he mischaracterize what the hell Rush Limbaugh does? He's a hitman. He's an assassin for the Republican Party, for God's sake. How can you mischaracterize what he does? He's a liar. He's an admitted drug junkie. And he goes on his show every day trashing the Democrats no matter what. He has admitted that he's carried the water for the Bush administration. How can you possibly mischaracterize what the man does? And we've played you examples on this program, not out of context, of the lies that the man has told. And yet his devotees stand by him over and over. And I actually got an email from one of his fans today that said, well, that Rush was just fighting fire with fire. Is that how you fight fire with fire? Somebody writes an article in a magazine, something that you don't like about you, and you call him up and tell him, I know where your kids go to school. Is that fire with fire? Is that the Republican idea of fighting fire with fire? I think it is. I don't think it is. I know it is. That's just how damn laughable these Republicans are. And that's why I almost insist anymore that I don't get into any kind of argument. I do not answer their emails anymore. They're simpletons. That's all you can say about it. That's all I will say about it. And they're getting really testy. Let me finish that up. Let me just finish that Rush Limbaugh thing up. I was reading a Democratic Underground thread and pertaining to what we just wrote about the drug junkie, saying we know where your kids go to school, an implied thread if I ever heard one. So here's this thread that shows up on the Democratic Underground, an open response to Rush Limbaugh operatives, we know you read DU. And it says, in response to threats made by your gas bag of a boss who said the following to a reporter on October 15th and bragged about it on his show, he said, we know where your kids go to school. Please advise your limp dick, drug addicted boss that we are going to find out exactly what the nature of his, quote, business was in the Dominican Republic, one of the prime vacation destinations for pedophiles who want to F young kids, and why he, as a single Christian man, needed Viagra on that trip. We all know he was caught with an illegal prescription when he came back to this country. That he took with a group of guys. That leads to more speculation, but we'll concentrate on the pedophilia first. His photograph is being passed around and shown to numerous brothels, as well as to the street corner hookers and the deviants in the underage sex trade in the Dominican Republic. Next, we're going to concentrate on his drug use and where he's getting supplied now. We're also passing his photograph around to the various streetwalkers in Broward and Palm Beach County. You should remind your fat gas bag piece of S boss that he shouldn't throw stones while living in a glass house because, frankly, he's too effing stupid to realize that himself. That is a post on Democratic Underground today. And I see that there are many, many answers to the thread saying, how can I help? We'll be glad to help with this situation. So there you go, Mr. Limbaugh. You want to fight fire with fire? You want to call a reporter up and threaten him, saying, I know where your kids go to school? Well, Mr. Limbaugh, there's just a random answer for you right there off of a website called Democratic Underground. So much for the drug junkie today. I do wonder where he's getting his drugs today. You suppose he's still loaded every day? He sounds like it when he's on his show. Sounds like he's whacked most of the time. Of course, with all the money he makes, he can afford, you know, he's probably got a new maid by now, and of course he wouldn't want to go out and buy the drugs himself. Now, would he? He would send the maid out to Denny's parking lot again, just like he did before, I would assume. I'm not saying he does take drugs again, but, you know how it is. Anyway, I got several emails from pissed off Republicans last night, and my, oh my, are they getting testy. If you think a couple of those rebuke love letters I read yesterday were a little raw, you should see some of the email I got last evening after the show. Oh, man. And actually, this morning, I actually did have a devout member of the local Republican Party tell me today that, quote, and I'll quote this, he just doesn't understand how anybody can back Bush any longer. He actually called Junior Bush a sap who doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground. Says he hated Clinton and Gore so much that he voted for Bush against his better judgment. He is the worst president of my lifetime, and that includes Jimmy Carter. This is coming from a Republican. This is coming from a hardcore Republican. Well, at least there's one of them out there who's honest. And, of course, there are the others who will defend Bush and his policies to the ends of the earth. Our right-wing friend from Texas sent an email defending Bush and damning the Democrats, and Al Gore still maintains, even with the information running, what, 99 to 1 against him about the environmental problem, that global warming issues are bogus. Can you imagine that? Can you talk about having your head in the sand or up your ass, one or the other? Of course, many Republicans still think the earth's only about 5,000 years old. Many of them believed the Earth was flat until we got that initial picture of the good Earth back from our space capsule on the way to the moon a few years back. That must have been quite a jolt for them, huh? Yes. Love to... I wonder what kind of grades these Republicans that don't believe in environmentalist global warming... And I wonder what kind of grades they got in science in school. Or did they go home and whine to their moms and dad, gee whiz, I don't want to take this science because none of it's true. Hmm? You do have to wonder, don't you? Man, oh man, oh man, oh man. It's amazing the stupidity in the Republican Party right now. It really is. The stupidity, the bitterness, the hatred. God, it's fascinating to watch. It really is. And speaking of fascinating to watch, did you get a chance to watch that pathetic press conference this morning by the, and it pains me to say it, by the President of the United States of America? Pathetic is the word. He was condescending. And how can you be, how can such a dolt be condescending? He isn't smart enough to know, I guess, that everybody's looking at him going, God, what a fool. His arrogance knows no bounds. It's beyond belief, really, his arrogance. You see how he treated some of the reporters? Here's a guy with an approval rating of something like, what, 26% at its lowest, and maybe 32, 33 is its highest, depending on what poll you look at. And here he is. He's trying to bully Congress. I mean, he's so way over the top. I mean, he has this thing with the express purpose this morning of excoriating Congress and trying to gain some points with the voters for the rebuke people who are going to run for Congress that are running from him. Notice he's not showing up at any fundraisers that the rebukes are having. I think he used that word Congress about 35 times. By the time I started counting it, I had about 35 times he used the word Congress this morning, the name Congress. Congress this and Congress that. Congress is not doing this and Congress is not doing that. He mentioned in it, if you saw the whole thing, he told how the Armenian resolution was such a bad thing, and regardless how you feel about that, he forgot to mention that when he was running for office, he himself is on record as having told a group of Armenians that he would get that resolution passed. Oops. Just forgot about that, didn't he? What a fool. And when asked, he wouldn't talk about his good friend Putin's new lovey-dovey relationship with Ahmadinejad of Iran. It seems that Junior Bush thinks he's got some sort of an understanding with his good pal Putin, but old Putin just doesn't quite feel the same way. I think it's a one-way love affair. About, you know, Putin just doesn't feel the same way about things as does Georgie boy Bush. Wouldn't you love to know Putin's feelings about Junior Bush? Junior talks about how they were great friends and all. I bet Putin looks down his nose at George Bush. Says, what a fool. Got him fooled completely. Face it. Putin's meeting with Ahmadinejad has made a complete fool of Junior Bush. And Condi Rice, by the way. You mark my word, the Russian bear is rising. And this is going to spell trouble for us once again in the future. And why? Because the State Department has done nothing. Our relationship with Russia has gone down the tubes ever since Junior's been president, or right shortly after he became president. Condi Rice is supposed to be an expert on Russia. Has there been any kind of a good dialogue with Russia? Has Bush done anything to cement a good relationship with the Russians other than to remember that? I looked into Putin's eyes and I could see his soul. Fool. I wonder how he feels about Putin talking about World War III now. And David Gregory. I got to give David Gregory a lot of credit. He's not cowed by anybody, evidently. Him and Sam Donaldson, I think, probably the two most ballsy guys I ever saw standing up to the White House. But, you know, when David Gregory asked about the 1981, I think it was 1981, Israeli attack on Iran's nuclear facility, he claimed to have, Bush said he hadn't have any knowledge of it. Or rather, he said he didn't remember how he felt about it. After all, I was just a plain old Texan who was down in Crawford trying to make a living in the Texas oil fields. Now, you got to think one of two things here. His daddy was in the CIA, and he didn't know anything about the Israeli attack. He was, it's entirely plausible that he wouldn't know anything about it. After all, there have been a whole lot of people state that this guy has no curiosity whatsoever about world events of the past. We know that about him. He's a very incurious individual. And it's also entirely plausible that he does have knowledge of it and refuses to comment because it was a rogue action taken by the Israelis against the wishes of almost the entire rest of the world, and he doesn't want to offend the Israelis. After all, they are our allies, you know. Question. How many of our allies have been caught in a spying operation against the United States military? How many of our allies have been caught spying against the United States? Just a question, just wondering. One wouldn't think a great ally would do that, now would one? I could be wrong. And, of course, Junior went on to talk about spreading democracy in the Middle East region and supporting those who cherish democracy. I noticed an absence of mentioning anything about the Saudis. He didn't mention that we've armed the Saudis to the teeth. He didn't mention that we've supported a Saudi dictatorship with military support. And why not? Why didn't he mention that? We want democracy to flourish in the Middle East. That's what we're doing in Iraq. And yet right next door, we have the Saudi royal family, a group that is unalterably opposed to democracy. They run that country with an iron hand. And yet Junior Bush unequivocally supports them. He's made no mention of democracy for Saudi Arabia. Now, has he? Has he? And yet it's really important we do that in Iraq. Summing up that whole news conference and the way he treated reporters asking honest, probing questions, nothing has changed in my mind. When the guy was nothing more than daddy's boy hatchet man in the Bush 41 White House, he was known as a complete jerk. I know a couple of people that worked in the White House during that time. I know them. And I have spoken to them about Junior Bush and how well he was thought of in the Bush 41 White House. There's just no other way to describe his behavior during that lame press conference today. He acted and looked like a jerk. And God, what a shame for the President of the United States to behave that way. He acts like some smirking 12-year-old kid when he gets in front of a press conference like that. And wouldn't it be refreshing? I know, the impropriety of it would shock everybody, but wouldn't it be refreshing for one of the well-known reporters there to finally one day have just had enough of having this brainless idiot of a president looking at him? Finally just had enough of him, you know, giving the smirks and insulting him. One of the well-known reporters just finally having enough and standing up said, you know, you're an ass, George Bush. You really are. You're an ignorant ass, and you don't belong behind that podium. Wouldn't it be refreshing? I know somebody that I think would do that, were they given the opportunity. Yeah, you got it. It would probably be me. I'd get fired, but I'd be proud of it. I would. Because somebody needs to tell this fool that he's not at all what he thinks he is. He's not at all somebody the rest of the world looks up to. He's not even somebody the rest of the world fears anymore, only for his stupidity. It's just a shame. It really is that we have to put up with that sort of thing and watch press conferences. I didn't have to watch it, but I knew it would be entertaining, and sure enough, it was. Certainly was. I have to give him that. There's always entertainment value to his press conferences. Do want to get something out of the way here. By the way, you can call us at 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. If we ever give you any erroneous information on this show whatsoever and we find out about it, we like to correct it as soon as we can. And yesterday I repeated a story, and I hope you'll forgive me for repeating a story that was not true, but I took it off of their website, Air America. Air America's own air personality went on their air, on their programming, and said that Randy Rhoads had been savagely beaten in the streets of New York, and you know the rest of the story. Well, it turns out that story is not true at all. They've admitted it that it is not true. That she most likely fell while walking her dog and may be back to work today for all I know. I don't know. But the story about her getting savagely beaten in New York is not true. And we repeated the story, and one would think if you get it from the horse's mouth that it might be true, but it turns out that one wasn't. So however it ended up being misreported, it was misreported. And I apologize to you for repeating a story that I find out now is not true. So I know Randy Rhoads, and I doubt that she would do anything like this for ratings. I'm not suggesting that she did, but I'm just saying that the story is not what it was first reported as, so we'll just let it go at that. We're going to pause for a break, and we'll be back. And by the way, you can call us at 866-546-5254.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year, and a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, Ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run without scissors,
it's the least you can do.
The ultimate cost. She went to the man who's been told that he's a king, and waited outside of his compound to ask him a few things. She said, "For what noble cause did my son have to die? And tell me, where are their weapons? And why did you have to lie? Imagine that." A lieutenant in the army, in his heart and his soul he believes, in a land of the free and the home of the brave. And now he's standing on trial, for he will not behave as they wish. Said, "I believe the Constitution to defend it and uphold. I will not fight your war for profit. No, sir, I will not go. Imagine that." Scientist and his machine, the smallest of life is seen. Inside matter, inside atoms, as far as you can go. He saw the strings of a life that vibrate with the universal flow. He said, "I have seen the spirit in all its creation. It's in each and every thought and all our intentions.
Is our children learning? And find out that the literacy level of our children are appalling. Why don't you volunteer? Why don't you help mentor a child how to read? And you're working hard to put food on your family.
I think we ought to raise the age at which juveniles can have a gun.
Families is where our nation finds hope, where wings take dream.
What you can do to help is you can love a neighbor just like you'd like to be loved yourself.
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
Poor people aren't necessarily killers. Just because you happen to be not rich doesn't mean you're willing to kill.
It's your money. You paid for it.
In my speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it, I asked Americans to give 4,000 hours over the rest of your life of service to America. That's what I asked. I said, 4,000 hours.
That's not good enough for America. 10th is 10 spots too low.
Can't live in with the bill means it won't become law.
The legislature's job is to write law. It's the executive branch job to interpret law.
Because they want the federal government controlling the Social Security like it's some kind of federal program.
Well, I understand that the unrest in the Middle East creates unrest throughout the region.
You see, free nations are peaceful nations. Free nations don't attack each other. Free nations don't develop weapons of mass destruction.
For a century and a half now, America and Japan have formed one of the great and enduring alliances of modern times.
Africa is a nation that suffers from incredible disease.
I think war is a dangerous place.
It'll take time to restore chaos.
One of history's worst tyrants. And in so doing, we not only freed the American people, we made our own people more secure. Not one doubt in my mind that we will fail.
I didn't realize I had dyslexia.
Terriers and barriers everywhere are torn. Tariffs and barriers everywhere are torn down.
In order for us to get the framework.
Oh, I can't listen anymore. I tell you, is it not amazing that a gentleman with his intellect has made it to the White House? I doubt that there's anybody on the staff at the White House. I take the entire staff. Everybody at the White House, from the guys that mow the lawn to the people that clean out the gutters to the people that serve the meals, and cook the meals, and make the beds, polish the floors. I doubt if there's a single person on the White House staff that doesn't have an intellect superior to the man they all serve. No, you say? Well, going to have to prove me wrong on that. I just don't know many people with an intellect less than his. 866-546-5254. You're welcome to call the program. If you have a calling plan that gives you unlimited calling, you may call us at 941-876-6896. You know, there's been a noticeable absence, and I'll bet you have heard the crickets chirping as well. Odd, isn't it, that we've not seen nor heard a single condemnation from any Republican politician or talk show host concerning Michelle Malkin and Rush Limbaugh's attack on the 12-year-old Frost boy and his family? Not a single naysayer amongst them have I heard. Not one. Not one. Nor have we seen any of them make any comments about the latest attack on the parents of a two-year-old now, who happened to need help from CHIPS. I've been saying that certain Republicans are guilty of giving their stamp of approval for person attacks on 12-year-olds. But in all fairness, I'm going to change my statement to say that I mean almost all members of the Republican Party, because I've yet to hear any of their spokesmen or women utter a single word against the actions of Michelle Malkin and Rush Limbaugh. I have yet to hear one. Nor have I had any admitted member of the Republican Party tell me that they disagree with the attack on the kids. Not one. And why do I bring this up? That whole thing is obvious to you. I know you haven't heard any condemnations of it either. This just kind of sums up the phoniness of the Republican Party. It sums up that the family values thing that they've been riding for the past couple of decades has been all a sham, doesn't it? Family values from the Republican Party? Please. The S-chip vetoed? It's okay with them. Family values? Torture is okayed by their boy? And that represents the best in family values? Alberto Gonzalez and all the lying he did in front of Congress, and that's okay. That's part of the family values. It's okay to send people over from the White House when the Attorney General of the United States, John Ashbrook, is sick and out of it in the hospital and try and get him to sign something that so that he wouldn't know what he was signing, something that they knew he didn't agree with. That's family values. I've mentioned this before on this program. But, you know, a couple of years ago, I went down to Crawford, Texas for a weekend to do my show when Cindy Sheehan had Camp Casey down at that godforsaken place. And I ran into rabid dog right-wing talk show host Mike Gallagher. And he is especially known for his family values shtick. He wears it like a badge of honor. He's just family values all over the place. He's such a good Christian. And I mentioned to him afterwards that I was there and that I heard him on a bullhorn, and I saw him with the bullhorn with a small busload of his devotees standing across this little country road with the sheriff standing in between the two sides, yelling at Cindy and her group, calling them anti-American, calling them traitors and the like, making all kinds of disparaging comments to a mother who had lost her son and others who had lost their children, and yelling at him for putting up all the crosses along the road there. And this brave family values guy, and what a sight that was. He is so pathetic. And the group of people he had with him are like, oh my God, the dregs. I don't know where he found them, but they were definitely the dregs. He wrote back to me, and he denied the entire episode. Denied it. And I then sent him a picture of himself with his bullhorn up to his fat mouth across the street from Cindy Sheehan yelling these epithets at these people. And his answer? His answer to me was, and let me quote this, "Hey, smart guy, want to compare bank accounts?" Yes. When challenged about the veracity of his statements, he suddenly wants to compare bank accounts. And let me tell you, I'm sure his bank account, since he's on a syndicated show, blathering to the right-wing idiots all day long, I'm sure his bank account is many, many, many-fold over mine. And evidently, he's damn proud of it. And evidently, he's damn proud of the way he got the money. And evidently, he's damn proud of that audience of his, which must be a legion of fools. But all this kind of shows you how honest the guy is, doesn't it? Kind of shows you that all of that family values talk was nothing more than showbiz and a way to fool voters into thinking that this Republican Party was on the side of average family folks. And we've since learned that no such thing is true. And even some of them have awakened to that fact. But will those who blindly voted for the Republicans change their ways? Or will they be fooled again by a completely new crop of Republican liars running for president, one Rudy Giuliani at the top of the list? Stands for nothing that the old-time Republican Party stands for. But really, no, the silence of the Republicans during the Malkin-Limbaugh attacks on little kids has been deafening. And it sums up all that I have said about them and their phony party for a long time now. Family values in their dreams. That party stands for nothing that benefits the average American family. They don't stand for the average American family at all. They stand for the American family that lives on Gulf Drive down in Naples, Florida. They stand for the American family that lives in all the rich sections of the big cities around the country and the people on the big estates that vote with an R. That's who they stand for. The average American family means nothing to this bunch of Republicans. Nothing. Any association between the standards that these Republicans have said they stand for and what actually is purely coincidental. But it's been working for them. Oh, it's been working very well for them. They have convinced people that they actually stood for something that they did not. It's been fascinating to watch. It has. And it's been fascinating to watch now some of the people getting wise, just like it's one of those Scooby-Doo moments, you know? Huh? What? They lied to me? Uh-huh. Yeah, they did. And let me give you an example of another liar. We all know about Mitch McConnell and his one of his aides pushing this Michelle Malkin-Limbaugh thing, attacking the 12-year-old kid. Deny, deny, deny. Mitch McConnell, when being asked about it.
An aide to Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell says the senator did not mislead WHAS 11 News. Don Stewart, an aide to McConnell, admits he sent an email to Washington reporters. In it, he noted that some conservative bloggers were questioning the financial status of a boy, asking Congress to override President Bush's veto of that S-CHIP bill. Stewart says he told the senator about his emails on Thursday. Then, Friday, WHAS 11's Mark Hubert asked McConnell if he or anyone on his staff had anything to do with an effort to dig into the background of 12-year-old Graham Frost.
Was there an indication that your office was trying to push reporters to go dig into this 12-year-old's background?
No.
So what was the deal with the email? What was the deal with the email from your staff?
There was no involvement whatsoever.
From your staff?
None.
No involvement whatsoever. None. This is from the Senate Minority Leader, Mitch McConnell. Now, we've known for a long time that Mr. McConnell plays fast and loose with the truth. There's a proof of it right there. Wasn't taken from context before all my right-wing friends started. You know, of course, that's their answer to everything. Oh, it was taken out of context. I take nothing out of context on this show. I've never misrepresented anything these people say. In fact, you know, I wouldn't do that. It's stupidity. Why would you do that when it's too easy to get caught these days? But that's always the first thing. Oh, his statement, Limbaugh's statements were taken out of context. You don't have to take his statements out of context. He hangs himself every other day on the show. Really odd what these people try and get away with. 866-546-5254. We'll be right back.
I'm walking. Yes, indeed. I'm talking. Yes, indeed. We're all walking. Because walking is good medicine for your heart. The American Heart Association says for every hour of regular vigorous exercise we do, like very brisk walking, we could live 2 hours longer. So, start walking. Imagine, if we walk to the moon and back, we could live forever. Start walking for life. Take your mother. Take your brother. I'm walking. Yes, indeed, I'm talking about you. Take your heart for a walk. Join the START movement at AmericanHeart.org/START for tools, tips, and more. Everybody now, I'm walking. Yes, indeed, and I'm talking. You'll feel better, and you could live longer.
I frame the question in these stark terms.
Are we going to continue to invest American blood and treasure at the same rate we are doing now? For what?
If we continue what you have laid before the Congress here as a strategy, do you feel that that is making America safer?
Sir, I don't know, actually.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rush Limbaugh!
They say that I'm sleaze and elitist. You please, everybody disagrees with my rap.
It is rap.
I'm horrendous, I'm appalling. My ratings now are falling because I'm so full of bull, so full of crap.
Full of crap.
With condescending tribes making money selling lies. You might say everybody hates my guts.
Hates his guts.
I'm offensive, I'm a bigot, I'm a fraud. Can you dig it? I'm a sexist, racist, homophobic, fat, pathetic tuts.
I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
That's right. I really am, because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
That's right. You're being scammed. I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
I don't care about the middle class, because I'm a fat conservative butthead with the face of a horse's ass.
He's a fat conservative butthead.
Hey,
the face of a horse's ass.
I have a subhuman figure, a huge rear end. My brain? That's another story.
It's quite another story.
I have a face the size of a wash tub. And my ass is as big as Missouri. Yes!
This bastard is sick. He's a fat mob as big and his ass is as big as Missouri.
Yes, Terry Bob!
Manipulating stuff.
statements exaggerate the truth. I can't believe they hate my show. Inspires. It's not just because I'm stupid. It's not just because I'm scum. It's just because Republicans are liars. I am heartless. I am vain, insensitive, insane. They say that I'm a national disgrace. I am nasty, insulting, basically revolting. I'm a concentrated pile of human waste. Because I'm a Nazi.
Heil!
I really am. Because I'm a Nazi. That's right. You're being scammed. I'm a Nazi. I don't care about the middle classes. I'm a sick Republican sleazeball with the face of a horse's ass.
He's a sick Republican sleazeball with the face of a horse's ass.
They say that this is not about my vanity. They doubt my sanity. They think I'm nuts. I am a cyst on the ass of humanity. New Republican slogan, read my pecs. From the bowels of Abe Walker comes the voice of Rush Limbaugh. In closing, let me say that each and every day, I'm an evil, rotten, egotistical snob. I'm the cop of Joe McCarthy-like Gestapo, the right-wing, foam-at-the-mouth, jack-booted slob, the democratic trashing, years of liberal bashing with the equivalent compassion of a grommet. With the IQ of a fig, I'm a fat, obnoxious pig. And the truth of the matter is, I'm vomit. Because I'm a Nazi.
Heil!
I really am, because I'm a Nazi.
Heil!
You're being scammed. I'm a Nazi.
A Nazi.
I don't care about the middle class, because I'm a fear-mongering scumbag with the face of a horse's ass.
He's a fat conservative
buckhead. Hey, Republican sleazeball. Fear-mongering scumbag.
Oh,
egotistical ass bite.
Mean-spirited,
hog-wallering fat conservative tots.
With the face
of a horse's ass.
Well, that kind of sums it up about our friend Mr. Limbaugh. Yes, it does. You know what a high opinion I have of him, and I hate to belabor the point, but I'm fascinated by the fact that this man is an icon to so many millions of people here in the United States, and that points to trouble for me. When I see somebody like him held up as a god to so many people, it shows me that, in fact, this country is in serious, serious trouble. Hey, let's head on over to the phones. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hello, Guy. This is Phil in Daytona Beach.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, I guess I got... I was pretty quick to dial again. Glad to get through. Guy, these guys are Nazis. And the Rush Limbaugh, you know, it's basically... you know, the whole thing, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, the whole machine, you know, is Joseph Goebbels, you know. These liars get up there and lie. And I don't know if it was Goebbels. Who said or maybe it was Hitler himself that said you tell a big lie enough and
yeah, it was Goebbels.
It was Goebbels. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's true, then. That's what they do. I was just in Office Depot buying some more paper to make flyers that we hand out to people. You know, we ourselves have to be truth tellers because there ain't nobody left, Guy, but us to tell the truth. So I wore my impeach Bush and Cheney shirt that I purchased off of AfterDowningStreet.org, and on the back of it, it says Article 2, Section 4, the President, Vice President, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. And you know what happened, Guy? I'm in line, and the woman behind me asked me, what is that? And that gave me the opportunity, you know, to say with a pretty loud voice so everyone could hear me that was the section of the Constitution that requires impeachment for basically what our president and vice president and civil officers have done. I said, it's not a matter of being a Republican or a Democrat. And there was a guy at the register, and he looked like, you know, an old World War II Marine, you know. He still had the buzz cut high and tight, and I knew he was a Marine. And I was saying to this woman, I said, you know, that's the oath that every service member takes. They don't take an oath to the president. They don't take an oath to the country. They don't take an oath to political party. I said, if you went up to 10 military veterans right now, you know, and I was saying it so this guy could hear it, you know, he might have had a, you know, WO4 thing on his car. I said, if you go up to 10 military veterans right now and ask them to recite the oath of enlistment for military service, you might get one or two that could tell you. I said, and then I stated the oath of military enlistment. I said that to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and a domestic enemy would include our civilian leadership if they are violating the Constitution. I said, that's the oath, and again, if you ask 10 military veterans right now, you're lucky if you get one or two who know that. And he heard me. He heard me, Guy. Just did some truth-telling.
Sure.
You know, I was the media myself, you know, and the whole store, that section of the store heard me, whether they wanted to hear me or not. And they ain't going to get that on the television set. And I said, it's not a matter of being Republican or Democrat. This is a matter of the Constitution that our soldiers are willing to die for to protect. We owe it to uphold it. You know, we owe it to them to uphold it. And, you know, and meanwhile, this World War II Marine vet, you know, based on his looks, you know, and tattoos on his forearms, had to hear that. And it might have made him think. It might have made his wife think, too, who was next to him. And it might have made everyone else who heard me think about it.
Well, I hope we're making people think at least. You know, the last couple of elections haven't shown us that people are thinking very much. But we can continue to hope and continue to fight and continue to tell the truth and hope that sooner or later it sinks into a public that really sometimes doesn't seem to give a damn. But
that's why I believe we have to take it to them, Guy. You know, we have to be proactive, because if not for us, who?
Yeah, well, that's what this show's about every day.
It is, and man, I this show, Guy, I think is the best. I'm not saying this to brown nose you or anything, but for me, I can't wait to 3 o'clock. Till you come on, you know, and I always appreciate the opportunity to call in and you know, bat it around with you.
Yeah, well, we keep hammering away every day. We hope that sooner or later we talk some sense into the vast majority of the American people. There are 51 million people that voted for Junior Bush this last time around, and we can only hope that we get to a significant number of them and get them to change their mind. And it's not because we're sitting here saying, oh, geez, the Democrats are wonderful, and they're not. As you well know, I'm pretty dissatisfied with the Democratic Party at the moment. But I am not dissatisfied with what the Democratic Party is supposed to stand for and what we always did.
I wanted to ask you about that, Guy, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
When you say you're a Democrat, what do you, Guy James, mean by that?
I mean that I want the party to go back to being a party that's for organized labor, a party that's for the good of all Americans, a party that really will work hard for the poor and middle-class Americans, a party that works for the greater good in this country. And that's what the Democratic Party always did work for. And I'm afraid we've strayed away from it. We've become a party that's beholden to big business interests, just in many ways as much as the Republicans have. And we've got to get back to our roots.
So you're a member of the party.
I am, in fact, a member of the party.
And you're keeping an eye on the party. And if it strays from what you believe it should be, you speak up about it.
I do, at every opportunity. And, you know, it's the same in both parties. The people at the top don't like it. They don't like the criticism. They don't like it when we underlings down here in the grassroots tell them what we think is wrong and how things ought to be done. But damn it, sooner or later, they've got to listen to us.
But isn't that the way it's supposed to be?
Well, of course,
they're
absolutely
supposed to be hearing from us and representing us.
Well, that was always the idea of the Democratic Party, to work from the grassroots on up. And instead, now they want the hierarchy to control everything and pass orders from the top down. And that's not going down so good with many of the grassroots people. And I think sooner or later, we'll bring it back again to where it's supposed to be.
Well, that's similar to the Constitution.
And
our responsibility as the citizens, self-governing citizens of the United States, self-governing means we've got to keep our eye on this, and when people stray from it, we've got to call them on it and rein them in and hold them accountable. And I believe, you know, I'm really glad when you say you're a Democrat, and it was kind of a question I already knew what your answer was going to be, that the point is... I'm tired of everyone that I come across identifying themselves as I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat.
They choose up sides like it's a sports team or something.
Yes.
And it's got nothing to do with that.
Exactly, and it's like if there's if there's an offsides, or illegal, and congratulations on Ohio State being number one.
Well, we'll see how long they stay there.
Yeah, but if there's if there's a penalty and the whole world sees it, but it's your team and you're out there defending the penalty, you see what I mean? It's almost like what's going on now Bush. Has committed so many crimes. They've been, the data and the evidence is out there for everyone to see. But these people are defending it because it's their team. So
that's right.
Speak.
That's right.
You know?
My team can do no wrong, evidently. And
I believe the Democrats have been. I believe we as the citizens, the average Joe. Everyday American, and there is 300 million of us versus a handful of them, I believe we're conditioned to take orders from above, and I see that in these Democratic clubs. The same kind of dynamic exists as does the people who belong to the Republican clubs and
I can tell you it's not that way in all Democratic clubs, and that's one of the problems we're having here in the state of Florida. We have the hierarchy wanting to run the clubs, and I know of a couple of clubs that aren't putting up with it and should not put with it. I got to run, Phil. Got the top of the hour coming up.
Oh, yes. Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
thanks
good
for
to
a
hear from
show.
You.
Okay.
We've got that in Florida. We've got Karen Thurman and the hierarchy of the party here wanting to tell all the clubs what they ought to do and how much money they've got to contribute and how they should run their club and what the agenda ought to be and all that. To hell with that. That's not what the Democratic Party is about. I mean, I understand you've got to have an organization, you've got to have a hierarchy and all that, but by God, the people run this party. And that's exactly the way it is and shall be and forevermore better be. We'll get it back to being that way. We'll get the whole party back to being that way. I'm not a happy camper right now. I hate to use that phrase, but I'm not a happy camper when it comes to the Democratic Party right now. You've heard me speak out long and loud about things that are going on within the party that I'm not at all pleased with. But I'm not going to jump parties. I'm not going to change parties. I'm not going to go green. I'm not going to go Republic. I'm not going to do any of that. I'm going to help bring the Democratic Party back to what it's supposed to be, back to its roots of the people, by the people, and for the people. You listen to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be back right after the news. I hope you'll stay with us.
This is the Quality News Network. The Iraqi government is urging the Turkish military not to do so. However, the Turkish parliament has voted for military action to cross Iraq's northern border into the independent Kurdish region where separatist Turkish-Kurdish guerrillas are active. Washington is appealing for Turkey not to take action, and Baghdad is asking for enough time to purge the area of the PKK rebels. At the White House, President Bush said he and Congress have found common ground on Iraq, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, and trade bills. He said the turning point in Iraq came after General Petraeus' recent progress report. At this moment, the president is presenting the Dalai Lama with the Congressional Gold Medal, in spite of heavy criticism from China. The occasion marks the first time a current U.S. president has appeared in public with the Tibetan Nobel Peace Prize winner. The Japanese cabinet has approved an anti-terrorism bill allowing the country to continue supporting the U.S. military action in Afghanistan. Japan supplies fuel and water to U.S.-led forces in the Indian Ocean. Canada announced it would extend its military presence in Afghanistan until 2011, 2 years longer than originally scheduled. In New York, two men extradited from Romania faced a federal judge on U.S. terrorism charges. The two are charged with providing millions of dollars in weapons to Colombian rebels. In Tehran, Russian President Vladimir Putin declared yesterday that his country would never accept U.S. military action against Iran. It was the first time in 50 years a Russian leader has visited the country. Myanmar's state media today said the country's dictatorship arrested nearly 3,000 pro-democracy advocates and is still holding about 500. The military junta said arrests are ongoing. Myanmar's largest donor, Japan, has cut off all aid. In Mogadishu, a top UN official has been kidnapped by Somali government gunmen. The head of the World Food Program was dragged from his office in a raid of the UN compound by at least 50 troops. All food aid has now been cut off to the region. Following a two-year investigation, federal agents have arrested nearly 20 airline employees accused of smuggling drugs through John F. Kennedy International Airport in New York. Customs say the smugglers took advantage of weak security. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
Looking to find the best in the USA? Come to Boulevards.com. We're the best address in city guides across the U.S., for the best information in travel, Boulevards.com gives you the most up-to-date choices for the best in dining, hotels, entertainment, adventure, and exciting tips to make your holiday the best it can be. Whether you're a local or just looking for great getaway tips, go to Boulevards.com and get the best. Be independent of search engines. Make your choices. We're Boulevards.com. Come visit us at SanFrancisco.com, SanJose.com, Carmel.com, WashingtonDC.com, PaloAlto.com, Seattle.com, Oakland.com, SanAntonio.com, Denver.com, and many more. We are Boulevards.com, the best in your visiting the USA. Come visit us at Boulevards.com.
NASA is sending the Space Shuttle Discovery up to the International Space Station on Tuesday. The construction mission will entail hauling a key connection node to the ISS to allow more science labs from additional countries to hook up to the main lab. The brain circuitry that controls appetite has been identified by UK scientists who said their findings can help develop anti-obesity drugs. The Pentagon's National Security Space Office, the ability to beam solar power collected in space down to Earth might soon be feasible. Such solar power could help alleviate dependence on Middle East oil. It could also supply electricity to troops stationed in remote corners of the globe. Indonesia is bracing for a volcanic eruption. Within the next 24 hours, authorities have ordered 100,000 residents to evacuate an area near the Javanese volcano Mount Kelud. The global leader in the manufacture of hard drives, Seagate Technology, posted an 18% increase in quarterly sales. Intel's gone up 43%, and all of those strong earnings reportedly propelled the market this morning. But now the Dow has plunged down 124 points despite the technology sector gains due to the 14-year low in housing starts and the price of oil surging past $89 a barrel today. Right now it stands at $88.15 a barrel. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
Wait.
show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hello there, and welcome to the Guy James Show, and welcome back after the news. Glad to have all of you along with us. I was just taking a look here, seeing that the Dow did recover. It ended up, what, 20 points down for the day, and oil ended up 21 cents down from yesterday. How long will it take for gas to be, well, maybe I should amend that statement. Maybe gas is already above $3, and I'm talking about regular unleaded gas, 87 gas. How much is it where you live? Right around here right now, it's around 280 something a gallon, 285. With the oil going up markedly this week by the barrel, one only has to wonder not if but when the price of gasoline will start skyrocketing. We know it will very, very soon. It'll hit that magic mark of $3 a gallon and keep right on going, I'm sure. So I'll have to take a look around regionally and see what it is around the country. I wanted to tell you a story. Somebody sent me a whole batch of stories, and I like these. They're little parodies. And I want to read you a couple of them today. But I think these are very, very clever. And it take me a few minutes to read one, but this one's called The Little Dutch Boy. And once upon a time in Holland, there lived a little Dutch boy named George. And one day as George was walking along the dike, George spotted a leak. And after stopping to ponder his pet goat back home for a while, George sprung into action. He grabbed one of the poor boys from the village and had him stick his finger in the dike. Then George went and told his old family friend, Mr. Fox. And Mr. Fox saw this as a great opportunity for George, so he told everyone how brave and strong George had been in saving the village from danger. And everyone praised George for the wonderful job he did protecting the village. And George liked all the praise he got for being such a hero. And for months afterwards, he got to do whatever he wanted in the village. But after a while, people started to forget about it all, and George didn't like that one bit. So he started warning people how dangerous the dikes could be. This got people's interest, but it wasn't enough for George. So one night he went out and drilled another hole in the dike. The next day, George sent one of the poor boys from the village to plug that hole. And for a while it was just like before, with Mr. Fox telling everyone how brave and strong George was in accomplishing the mission of saving the village. But then the hole started to get bigger, and pretty soon George had to send lots of poor boys to plug the hole. But it kept getting bigger, and some of the boys drowned from the water and the mudslides, so George sent more boys from the village. And some people started to criticize George, saying things were getting worse and that too many boys had been sent to their deaths. Mr. Katz said George was making a big mistake. But Mr. Fox helped out by calling him DeFito Katz. And that made some people laugh and was really very, very clever. The people who listened to Mr. Fox knew things were going fine and they were making progress every day. But some people in the village weren't happy at all about the poor boys who were being sent into the hole that was getting worse. So they had a village election and they voted to end the horrible situation with the dike. George was shocked at the decision of the village, but he said he understood the message, and he met with the wealthiest people in town, the ones who never sent their sons to go into the hole. Even they said things weren't going well. Some said to evacuate to higher ground now, and some said try building better building materials. Some said they could distract everyone by drilling another hole in the dike behind the windmill, which they always worried about. But George didn't listen to any of them. He just found more poor boys willing to go into the hole, and he sent them surging in. Then Mr. Fox warned everyone that it would be a disaster if they ever pulled the boys out of the hole. Meantime, the hole kept getting bigger, but a lot of people quit complaining because they didn't want anything bad to happen. And in the end, the hole burst anyway, and it was a disaster. In the meantime, George had also neglected the first hole, and it burst as well. But George wasn't bothered by any of it, because by then, he had moved on to higher ground, and it was someone else's problem. 866-546-5254, if you'd like to join us here on the Guy James Show today. We've got this tongue-in-cheek bulletin for you today. Bush and Cheney to be deployed to Iraq. Dateline Washington. The Pentagon announced today that due to the shortage of troops caused by the surge, President Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney would be deployed as soldiers to Iraq. The rationale for the shocking move was apparently twofold. As more soldiers were needed, old records were combed, and it was discovered that the president never showed up for all assigned duties during his time in the National Guard, a failure that would be unacceptable today. Thus, he still owes his country service. As for the vice president, his draft board decided that his use of 5 deferments because he had other priorities was just silly. President Bush was rather upbeat as he prepared to depart. Vietnam was a different time, using my daddy's influence to get a cushy position and then not showing up because I was high on cocaine was okay then, but unacceptable now. I'm asking for great sacrifices from our all-volunteer military, keeping them longer and deploying them more. I call on all of the 28% of us who still think this war is a good idea to join me. Supporting the troop isn't about putting a sticker on your SUV or whining on the internet. I just couldn't be one of those worthless hypocrites anymore, said Junior Bush. And Vice President Dick Cheney was also upbeat. He said, I'm not worried one bit. For 4 years, we've been telling everyone that we're making great progress, and the media doesn't report all the good news. If one-tenth of that BS is true, this should be just a great vacation in a lovely wonderland called Iraq. When asked about the leadership of the country during the absence of the two top officials, White House spokesman Dana Perino commented, we already hired a puppeteer and two sock puppets to stay the course. And the media doesn't report all the good news over and over. We don't think anyone will notice the difference. I suspect Ms. Perino is absolutely right. 866-546-5254. How many of you saw the interview with Senator Larry Craig last evening? Wasn't it interesting? Wasn't it just interesting? Um, Here's a guy that claimed last night to know nothing about the internet on national television. But when you look at his committee assignments in the Senate, it shows him to either be a liar or B, stupid. He's a Republican, all right. Hey, this is the guy who makes the laws and then claims he didn't know he needed counsel when he broke the laws. He's an idiot, really. And he sure seemed like it in the interview. Why did he do that? Well, Larry Craig went on to say during the interview that he doesn't know anything about the internet. He told Matt Lauer that he only uses email, and only upon his CrackBerry. But the evidence, as compiled by Examiner.com, actually begs the contrary. When Lauer asked Craig whether he knew about the Minneapolis airport bathroom's reputation as a, quote, hotspot for gay tryst, Craig said, quote, Matt, you won't believe this, but I don't use the internet. I don't have a computer at my desk. I've never used the internet. It's just not what I do. And I'm not gay either. I email with my BlackBerry. No, I did not know that. I had no reason to know that. Well, you know, that's very, very interesting in light of the following. Because in an op-ed quote he wrote this summer on the S-CHIP healthcare program, Craig says he did a Google search on the term mission creep. This is from a guy that doesn't use the internet. He did a Google search. He's a member of the Congressional Internet Caucus. He co-sponsored a bill designating June 2007 as National Internet Safety Month. He was presented with the 2007 Internet Keep Safe Coalition Award. And on his website, he lists as a top accomplishment a Silver Mouse Award given to his site in 2003 and 2006 by the Congressional Management Foundation. And he endorsed Mitt Romney for president. He did so on YouTube. All of this from a man who claims he does not use the internet. I suppose Larry Craig didn't find out about that hot restroom spot in the Minneapolis airport through the internet. Sure. But his assertion that he doesn't know about the internet is absolutely bogus. He's demonstrably been in the forefront with legislation about the internet. When he said he knows nothing about it, he's claiming he's incompetent, I guess, which is not surprising. He's a Republican incompetent? Oh, or a liar, and none of that's surprising. And all of that is true concerning Larry Craig, that is that he's the gift that keeps on giving right now, and we can only hope that he decides to run for re-election. And from his attitude on the interview last night, it wouldn't surprise me even a little bit. Would it surprise you? I was heartened to see today that a company I do business with, Comcast, in fact, it's the service this program is coming to you, being streamed with, Comcast says they don't provide free customer, and they don't freely provide customer info to the government. That's right. Comcast doesn't freely provide customer info to the government. Well, I thought when I first read that headline, I thought, well, good. It's a company I do business with. I was concerned about Verizon, a company I also do business with. I was concerned that they're passing off personal information to the government willy-nilly, and I thought, well, great. That's great that Comcast is not doing that. Until I read this. According to an internal Comcast cable company document, the giant cable internet phone provider charges the government $1,000 nearly every time the FBI or other intelligence or law enforcement agency wants to surveil a person's email or digital phone account. And on top of this startup fee, Comcast charges state and federal authorities $750 a month to maintain electronic surveillance, according to the document, which was obtained by the nonprofit Secretary News website. The fees are charged for nearly all law enforcement or intelligence surveillance requests. And in cases involving child exploitation, Comcast waives the fee, the document said. Well, isn't that nice? So, there's a perfect case there. You better read things fairly closely, because having just read the headline, I thought, well, good. My company, internet provider, is not one that's ratting everybody out to the government surveilling us. Until I read, yes, they are surveilling us, giving the information to the government, our private personal information. And they charge the government $1,000 every time they do it. Every time they surveil a person's email or digital phone account, and they maintain a $750 a month charge thereafter to do so. I guess that's how the free market's supposed to work. The Comcast and the Verizons of the world are supposed to completely satisfy the government. We pay the bills. How many of you think how many think that you've been surveilled by the United States government? I'm not talking any tinfoil hat stuff here. How many of you, as we well know, the Nixon administration watched people who were dissenters at the time against the war? We know they surveilled people. We know they listened to their phone conversations. And I suspect it's probably been done ever since. And it would be hard to think that this administration is not watching people who disagrees with their political ideology. We know they started a program of doing so right after they got into office. So here you go. They've got an enemies list. They are watching you. They are watching me. And are you one of those people who's saying, hey, I've got nothing to hide. My life is an open book. Yes, my life is an open book. Let me here have all the personal information of mine that you want. I trust you, Uncle. I trust you, Uncle Sam. Here's all my personal information, my banking information, my life history, my medical records. Take it. It's yours. Because I've done nothing wrong. I have nothing to hide. Oh. Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Citizen. Thank you for all your personal information. Thank you for letting us take it. And then some unscrupulous government employee in the background sells your information to one of the many who would love to have your medical records or your credit card information or your credit information. Just happens to get sold, and it just happens to get spread out all over the internet, and just anybody who wants it can get it. You got an ex-wife that's trying to put it to you, an ex-husband is trying to put it to you, and they want your phone records. They'll get them. You having a trouble with your neighbor, having a fight with your neighbor, and they decide they want to get you. They'll be able to. It's all just peachy keen. But don't worry. You've got nothing to hide. So let them have all your personal information. Let them listen to your phone calls. Let them surveil your email. It's not a problem, is it? No. Certainly not, because God knows the government or not any of its employees would never do anything untoward with your personal information, now would they? Silly me. Of course not. Of course they wouldn't. And if you believe that, I still have that land down next to the Everglades that you may be interested in. Cheap, by the way. I don't have the title to it. Somebody else does, but I'll sell it anyway. I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about something that I'm sure you've all noticed many times during these past few years, and maybe longer than that. It's not a new phenomenon. But I'm sure you've all noticed a certain quality about our political debate these days. I know I certainly have. And it's becoming more and more clear every single time I see someone in the political arena speak these days, and have you recognized what I would say is the essence of today's political speak? Have you figured it out? The thing that stands out most of all in today's political discourse is the absolute unreality of it all. It's like everyone knows but won't admit that the politicians only speak in some kind of a code. Have you noticed the code? There just doesn't seem to be any political rhetoric that has any real substance to it at all anymore. They talk and talk and talk and they don't say anything. Their words have been filtered, they've been strained, and they've been cleansed to the point where they only say things that are safe. Things that are empty, meaningless phrases. Things that have been deemed acceptable language, politically correct. Language that's been parsed and cleansed of anything related to facts. It's all just a ruse. It's an elaborate charade. Politics has turned into some sort of a beauty contest where political speech with substance and real meaning has been banned. Are you as frustrated over the debates as I am, where they go on for hours and they don't say a damn thing? When it's all over, you look back and say, what was that about? And let me give you a couple of perfect examples. Regardless of what you think of either one of these guys, Mike Gravel, and a guy I know and love, Dennis Kucinich. They very often get involved in debates or political discourse, and they throw out some real facts. Things that the others don't want to hear. Things that need to be talked about. They throw out actual truths that really need to be fully vetted and discussed by all the candidates. And what do they get for doing that? You know what they get. They end up being called kooks and weirdos, and they're ridiculed, and they're laughed at, and they're not taken seriously. And neither one of them will ever hold a position of national leadership because the media has decided that they're crazy. And the way the media has decided that they're crazy is because they're crazy because they dared to speak the truth when the others would not. Crazy because they choose to say things that are painful to hear in the political arena because those things may cause other politicians to abandon their safe, sanitized, filtered speech and be forced to face and to address the ugly truth concerning the war, the health care, and the other important issues facing this country right now. Yes, they'd have to engage in truths. Truths that are unpleasant to talk about. Truth that would require action. And decisions that may not be pleasant and may not be popular. But the reality of the situation is that we're in an era where truth is not popular. In the political arena, truth is definitely not popular. Truth in politics today is to be avoided at all costs by almost all of the candidates. Truth is dangerous to those whose leadership it might question. The sad fact is that truth is the enemy of the political establishment in this country today. You know it is. To speak truth in today's political environment is to stick your neck out, and I mean stick it way out. But first, you got to hack your way through the forest of lies and deceptions that exist. And I think we all know these lies and deceptions have been carefully planted, and they've been nurtured for decades, and you got to force the political leadership to face reality. And for several reasons, they don't want to do that. In fact, they'll avoid doing so at all costs. And if you've watched these debates, you know exactly what I'm talking about, how far some of them will go to keep from answering a question. Now, as my examples, Mike Gravel and Dennis Kucinich have discovered, they have a long, very difficult road ahead of them because they've found another truth, and that truth is that no one wants to hear it. They don't want to hear the truth. We've lived on lies for so long. We've allowed our political leaders to build huge lies to the point that we depend on those lies. Lies are what we live on in this country today. They're the key to our psychological well-being. We can't face the truth in this country. You stop and think of some of the lies that we've digested and some of the lies that we hold as facts in this country today. And you think particularly about Dennis Kucinich and Mike Gravel when I'm talking about this and some of the things they've set out on the campaign trail. The United States, here we are in the fifth year of an illegal occupation of a country that never threatened us. It's a criminal occupation, I might add. And this occupation follows a war of aggression and conquest and international crime that violates the Nuremberg principles. But we don't want to recognize that. The Nazis fabricated a series of lies to justify their invasion of Poland. If you're a student of history, that's very apparent. The United States did the same thing with regard to Iraq and now does the same thing in getting ready for an attack on Iran. The United States set in motion a series of events that has led to the deaths of 1 million innocent Iraqis, and there will be more. And these deaths will go on for at least several years to come. And the United States will remain in Iraq for decades, probably for the rest of your lifetime. And in this manner, whether you want to recognize it or its truth or not, the United States has made itself an international criminal and a world outlaw. And it did all this not out of any credibility concern for self-defense, however slight that might have been, for Iraq never represented any serious threat to us, as much of the rest of the world and many Americans well understood way back when this thing started. The United States did all this because the ruling class is intent upon world domination. Both parties are committed to this goal, and no major national politician has opposed it. And government did all this because it could, and because no one could stop us, and because we will have our way. And if the other countries won't obey us, they'll be bribed, they'll be coerced, and they'll be manipulated. And if they persist in their disobedience to our government, they'll be destroyed. But let's not discuss the truth of this. Instead, let's talk of liberation and planting democracy in the Middle East. Our national debate isn't whether we should ever have invaded Iraq in the first place. That's not the debate among our national leaders now. Instead, the debate is of one of how bad we bungled the invasion that should have never taken place in the first place. It's not Bush's moral decisions that are being challenged. It's his competence in carrying them out that's causing the furor to take place in the halls of Congress at the moment. Oh, sure. Minor media figures like me and a few others have argued from the very beginning that this war was immoral, that it was wrong, that it was a major crime against humanity. But we were laughed at and discredited in the same manner that Mike Gravel and Dennis Kucinich are being treated today. Because, you see, the whole thing involved truth, and nobody wanted to hear it. And instead, we're still being treated to a daily diet of lies by our media. We've become a culture steeped in lies and deception, deception of ourselves. We're fooling no one but ourselves in this. And sooner or later, it will catch up with us, even here at home, where we've always felt safe from the foreign policy blunders of our government. Now, even here at home, we're seeing the basic foundation of our liberty being threatened. Habeas corpus is being taken away by the Military Commissions Act. Most Americans don't even realize the significance of that. They don't realize that this could be the place in history that'll someday be identified as probably the moment in time when the final destruction of the United States as a constitutional republic become the reality. But would you know it from the national debate that you're hearing on TV and radio today? Would you know it from listening to most of our political leaders? Would you know that from reading the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, the New York Times, and the other big newspapers? Let me answer for you. You would not know it. Oh, sure, you'll hear the likes of Dennis Kucinich mention it, but he is a kook, you know. Don't listen to him. A few other Democrats have mentioned that they understand the significance of the Military Commissions Act, but have they done a damn thing about it? And you know the answer to that question. And the Military Commissions Act has even more significance than habeas corpus. It also established the government's use of torture as an acknowledged, acceptable, standardized action. The Democrats have spoken out against torture, but they haven't raised a serious hand against the Military Commissions Act. Why? The repeal of the Military Commissions Act should be at the top of any Democrat's agenda, but is it? Not that I can see. So we've now destroyed the foundations of our liberty. We've given our blessings to torture. But we're being told that we shouldn't speak about this. We're instead to say, you know, to stay immersed in the culture of lies and deception we've been swimming in for a long time now. We need to shut up and follow our leaders. And perhaps for our own well-being, we should do exactly that, because in today's political culture, to dissent, to speak out, to identify the lies of the Bush administration and expose them for what they are, what they really are. Well, to do that is, in the opinion of the media and many of the people in this country, just crazy. Crazy, just like Mike Gravel and Dennis Kucinich. Crazy. Anybody speaking the truth today is crazy. 866-546-5254. Let's go with the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
I'd like to talk about a couple of things. I'll continue with what you're talking about, for one. And have you noticed that anybody that wants to help the common man is despised and hated and vilified?
Yep.
Such as Michael Moore, Martin Luther King. Anybody, like you said, if you speak the truth, people don't want to hear it.
They certainly don't.
And, you know, Jesus said, you shall know the truth shall make you free, but you got to know it. And let me see what I had.
You need to be willing to accept the truth, and so many people are not.
Yeah, right.
They're not. If the truth's going to set you free, you got to be open-minded and willing to accept it.
Well, he said you got to know the truth. He didn't just say the truth will make you free. He said you got to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You got to know it. But that's something we should seek, and I'm not talking about just Christianity. I'm talking about everything. And anyway, you were talking about having the FBI. I don't know what they're doing now. They put probably on. But anyway, back when I was married a long time ago, my husband got a job at Cape Canaveral. And our phone, I would have read in the phone book where at that time, they had the beeping, and it said if you had a slow beep on your phone that somebody was tapping it.
Hmm.
Well, we had it. When he for quite a while when he first started working there, and I called the phone company.
Well, they wouldn't admit it anyway, would they?
No, probably like today, you know, they don't admit what they do.
No.
You were talking about your phone company, weren't you?
Sure.
So.
Yeah, internet provider and, the Comcast, they're monitoring people's email and selling the information to the government. It's unconscionable, in my opinion.
And, you know, it's such a waste of time, too. You know, my gosh, most of it's boring and mundane, you know.
Yeah, would be with mine, I can tell you that.
Mine too.
The only wild email I get is from Republicans. So.
I know. You know they. You know the, those you read yesterday. I was going to want to just say about that too. They, you know, talking about they talk like some of them talk like they were Christians, didn't they?
But yeah, they love to brag about how they're very Christian and so forth. And
well,
then,
what about them wishing that you would die of a horrible death?
Well,
that,
they're hunting that down that thing Christian. In the Old Testament about smiting your enemies and stuff. I think.
Well, that's not Christian though.
I consider myself. Let's see, what's the smote?
Smited.
I don't know, but they've been threatening that for a long time. So I
and if they think they're Christians talking like that, that's going to come back on them. If they really, you know, think they're Christians, it's going to come back on them.
Well, some of the most vile talk I've ever heard has come from so-called Christians. So
I know it.
Try and associate with real people. Juanita, thanks for your call. Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Speaking of big-time Christians, I got this email a while ago, and I'll read it to you with my tongue firmly in cheek. The Falwell... I can barely contain myself. The Falwell estate scandal. I feel so bad for reading this. I really do. What is it that Larry the Cable Guy's, Lord forgive me for... Anyway, Lynchburg, Dateline Lynchburg. Scandal struck the Falwell family today when a secret will was discovered, leaving most of the estate, I'm trying to keep a straight face, to Tinky Winky, the Teletubby. Rumors that the Reverend Falwell had carried on a secret affair with the television star were vehemently denied by Falwell's family, which is contesting the will in court. Family spokesman Total Bigot announced, "There was no affair. Reverend Falwell may have spent time with Tinky Winky, but only to bring him the word of the Lord. He was always reaching out to media figures in an attempt to save them from evil influences." Whether it was weekend spiritual retreats in Key West with Tinky Winky, going to Streisand concerts with Big Bird, or watching Gladiator movies with Bert and Ernie, Reverend Falwell did whatever it took to spread the good word. Tinky Winky himself only recently came forward with his tale of a secret and stormy affair. Tinky Winky said publicly he denied me 3 times before the... he always came but crawling back with his endearing little, "I don't know how to quit you." He may have engaged in some verbal gay bashing, but secretly he hated all forms of gay bashing, unless you count all the times he tied me up and went at me with the cat of nine tails. Truly ours was the love that dare not speak its name. When asked why, some of the Reverend's more controversial comments, Tinky Winky responded, "I know it sounds strange, but deep down, he was a kind person who felt horrible about the things he had to say publicly. He did it to keep his followers happy and the money rolling in. He really didn't think gays were responsible for 9/11. He knew that it was actually all the fault of the Catholics and the Jews." Well, there you have it. The Falwell estate scandal, again, with tongue firmly in cheek. Let's head back to the phone. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, it's Kevin from D.C.
Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, you get tired of me. But, you know, with all this domestic spying going around, you know, this administration needs to look into their own house, because historically, if you look at the 2 or 3 biggest traitors, which was Hansen, who used to work for the FBI, and Walker, who used to work for the CIA, they were staunch Republican John Birch Society conservatives, and they sold millions of dollars worth of secrets to the Soviets during the Cold War.
Right you are. Right you are.
Okay. And they did have sexual issues, too. Hansen used to videotape him and his wife having sex and pass it on to his colleagues.
Oh. Well, I... hope his colleagues were entertained. Seems like an odd form of entertainment around the old office, doesn't it?
Yeah, and this guy was Opus Dei too.
Is it Hansen? Did I see? I watched a thing the other night. I think it was 60 Minutes talking about that Supermax. Prison.
Yeah.
Is it Hansen that was in there for? I think it was one of those two that you just mentioned.
Yeah. And this is the guy. You know, they made a movie on him like a couple of months back. It starred Reese Witherspoon's ex-husband there, Ryan Phillippe. But yeah, you know, so they need to first, before they get on the Democrats or the liberals or so-called subversives, look into their own house, because the biggest traitors of this country who sold secrets to our enemies are people who think just like them.
I don't doubt that even a little bit. That'd be a good place to start.
Ready?
Yeah. Hey, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you.
No problem. Bye.
866-546-5254. If you'd like to join us here on the program today, I think we're going to, what are we going to do right now? I think we're going to pause for a break right now. I'm looking over. We'll be back in just a moment.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, hey, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire. The time for hesitation's through. There's no time to wallow in the mire. Darling, we could only lose, and our love become a funeral pyre. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire.
radio. It's in your TV set. Won't give it a rest. That soul betrayed. So and so.
Ah, yes, the Devil's Radio, George Harrison. Thanks for joining us here on Head On Radio this afternoon here on the Guy James Show. I was just looking, I don't know why I forgot this, some notes I made during the news way back when at the top of the hour about the Dalai Lama. I met the Dalai Lama one time. Actually, it was at a dinner with him and, about 100, 150 people. It was really cool, to use the 1960s term, 50s and 60s term, to meet the Dalai Lama. I will admit, the guy has some kind of an aura about him. He really does. You do feel you're in special company. We all dined on veggies that evening. I am surprised, in a way. You know, they were talking about whether or not George Bush would appear with him because of the Chinese and so forth. I'm surprised that Dalai Lama would appear with George Bush. I really am. I don't want to accuse the Dalai Lama of doing anything wrong or making a mistake, because heaven knows. But I would have thought twice had I been him before appearing with the likes of one Junior Bush. I really would have. I would think that maybe it would, you know, kind of stain my reputation a little bit. I'm not sure. Also heard during the news, they were talking about doing some kind of brain surgery where they could get the gene that was that causes obesity. I wonder about that. Will they be able to guide? Is that like just one gene, or is a collection of genes? I mean, will they pull out the gene that makes you like ice cream and sweets and chocolate? You know, things like that, or will it be just you know, real fatty things like fatty meat? And I don't know. I don't want to lose the gene that makes you like ice cream. I don't eat much ice cream, but God knows I would. Oh, ho, I would. I do love ice cream. You know what? I hate to admit this. I had my very first, and I do love ice cream, and I appreciate good ice cream, and being from, you know, kind of a farm community, I know what good 14% butterfat hard ice cream is. That's what I really like. Mmm. And, you know, going to the local ice cream store and getting a couple of big dips of Isley's ice cream, 7 cents for the regular cone and 12 for the skyscraper. Used to love to watch that guy at Isley's swear when he would dig down to that ice cream and try and make that skyscraper cone. That wasn't a dip, you know. That was kind of like a big slab of ice cream. He'd dig this big trowel down into the ice cream and then try and put it on a cone. And half the time when he'd try and put it on the cone, he would bust up the sugar cone that he was trying to put the, you know, the waffle cone that he was trying to put it on. It was so funny. We used to love to watch him swear when he did that. Perverse things that kids like. But where was I going with that? I don't know. I don't know why I happened to bring that up. Don't ask me. I'm just a talk show host here talking about ice cream. I see Corystone on the chat room here talking about parents being from over around the Washington, P.A. area. Been to Washington, PA. That's interesting. What's his name? The Great Architect has a home not far from there. What's it called? Falling Waters, I believe. Yeah, I think it is Falling Waters. I'm not sure. But wonderful place. Been out there. Absolutely gorgeous. Now, see, I can think of the name of his house, but I can't. Frank Lloyd Wright, of course. Beautiful home not far from Washington, PA. Actually, it's down around Johnstown, PA, not Washington. But I'm familiar with eastern Pennsylvania, although I am an Ohioan originally. Gosh, it's a little late for phone calls right now, I guess. I won't get started on any because before you know it, we'd have to end it, and it wouldn't be fair to you. So let's... we got so many things I wanted to talk about today that we didn't get to. I wanted to talk about the Florida... state of Florida and their association with insurance companies that are, believe me folks when I tell you, robbing people blind in Florida. It is unbelievable. You think you got insurance problems no matter where you live. If you don't live along the Gulf Coast anyplace, you don't really have insurance problems. They are literally forcing people to pick up and move. You know, it's one of those situations where you have a mortgage and your mortgage holder insists that you have insurance, you must have insurance, and the insurance company comes along and says, guess what, I know it was $1,500 to insure your place last year, but we're going to make it $7,500 this year. How about that? And what are you going to say? I'm not paying it? You can't go anyplace else because the insurance companies have all got together. It's collusion. And decided that they're all going to stick together on the prices. You can't go anyplace else and get it cheaper, and yet you've got to have it. And what do? People on a fixed income, thousands of people. In the county where I live, there were 1,232 foreclosures last month. 1,232 foreclosures. Folks, that does not bode well for the United States economy. There are other places in the country having severe problems as well. I do realize this is a high-growth area, but 1,232 foreclosures in 1 month in this community isn't that big. So, tremendous problems facing the American consumer concerning insurance. We'll talk about that tomorrow. The states have played ball with them all along. The Republicans have played ball, and I suppose the Democrats as well. Hey, thanks for joining us here today on the Guy James Show. I do appreciate your listenership so very much each and every day. We try and have a good show for you each and every day, and appreciate you being with us and all your kind emails and messages. We want to remind you we're a listener-supported program. Help out if you can. We'd appreciate it ever so much. Billy Shears, music director, thank you, Billy, for great tunes. And all the folks on the Head On Radio Network, stay tuned for another Head On show. Don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. You've been listening to the Guy James Show. Talk to you tomorrow, gang.